Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Jitam Tam Sadrivam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakana Svitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dhina Vando Jagatate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Saptakanshan Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishubhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Padidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Dadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 2 Chapter 3 Pure Devotional Service Text Number 17
Ayur
Harati
Harati
Vai
Vai
Kumsam
Kumsam
Udyan
Udyan
Astam
Astam
Cha
Cha
Yan
Yan
Asau
Asau
Tasya
Tasya
Rite
Rite
Yat
Yat
Chana
Chana
Nita
Nita
Uttama Shloka
Uttama Shloka
Vartaya
Vartaya
Ayur Harati Vai Kumsam
Ayur
Udyanastam Chayanyasau
Udyanastam
Chayanyasau Tasyarte Yachinonita
Tasyarte Yachinonita
Uttama Shloka Vartaya
Uttama Shloka Vartaya
Ayur Hardi Vaipumsam
Ayur Hardi Vaipumsam
Udyanastam Chayanyasau
Udyanastam Chayanyasau
Tasyarte Yachinonita
Tasyarte Yachinonita
Uttama Shloka Vartaya
Uttama Shloka Vartaya
Ayurati Vaikumsam
Ayurati Vaikumsam Bhujyanastam Sayonaso
Tasyarte Yachinonita
Tasyarte Yachinonita Uttama Shloka Vartaya
Ayur Harati Vaipumsham
Bhujyanastam Sayonaso Uttama Shloka Vartaya
Ayur Harati Vaipumsam
Ayur Harati Vaipumsam
Ujjanastam Chayan Aso
Ujjanastam Chayan Aso
Dasyarte Yachanonita
Dasyarte Yachanonita
Uttama Shloka Vartaya
Uttama Shloka Vartaya Ayur Harati Vaipumsham
Bhaktyamashtam Chayamaso
Bhaktyamashtam Chayamaso
Bhaktyarte Yakshanonita
Bhaktyarte Yakshanonita
Uttamashtuka Vartaya
Uttamashtuka Vartaya Ayur Harati Vaipumsham
Ayur Harati Vaipumsham
Udhyanastam Chayanaso
Udhyanastam Chayanaso
Dasyarte Yachanonita
Dasyarte Yachanonita
Uttama Shloka Vartaya
Uttama Shloka Vartaya
Matrix
Ayur Harati Vaipumsham
Udhyanastam Chayanaso
Tasyarte Yachinonita
Uttama Shloka Vartaya
Uttama Shloka Vartaya Ayurvati Vaikumsham Bhujanam Samhiranaso Asyarte Yatsuno Nita Bhujanam Sokavataya Ayurvati Vaikumsham Bhujanam Samhiranaso
Ayurvati Vaikumsham
Duration of life.
Duration of life. Harati.
Decreases.
Vai.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Pungsam. Of the people.
Of the people.
Udyan. Rising.
Rising.
Astam.
Setting.
Cha.
Also.
Yan.
Moving.
Asau, the sun.
Tasya,
of one who glorifies the Lord.
Rite,
accept.
Yat,
by whom?
Shana,
time.
Nita,
utilize.
Uttamashloka,
the all good personality of Godhead.
Vartaya,
in the topic of. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Purport. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity, Jiva, so that he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spiritual spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. The Lord is a complete spirit whole, and his name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with him. Once a person comes into contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately opened. In the Bhagavad Gita 2.40, the Lord has explained such contact in the following words. Endeavors in devotional service are never baffled, nor is there failure. A slight beginning of such activities is sufficient even to deliver a person from the great ocean of material fears. As a highly potent drug injected intravenously acts at once on the whole body, the transcendental topics of the Lord, injected through the ear of the pure devotee of the Lord, can act very efficiently. Oral realization of the transcendental messages implies total realization, just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts. This realization for a moment in the association of pure devotees like Sri Devi Goswami prepares one's complete life for eternity. Thus the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the eternal living being. Only due to material affection is the eternal living entity subjected to the law of birth, death, old age, and disease. The materialistic way of pious activities, like charity, is recommended in the Smriti Shastras, as quoted by Śrīla Viṣṇunātha Chakravarti Thakur. Money given in charity to a suitable person is guaranteed bank balance in the next life. Such charity is recommended to be given to a Brahmin. If the money is given in charity to a non-Brahmin without brahminical qualification, the money is returned in the next life in the same proportion. If it is given in charity to a half-educated Brahmin, even then the money is returned double. If the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified Brahmin, the money is returned 100 and 1,000 times. And if the money is given to a Veda Bharaga, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, is returned by unlimited multiplication. So this is how probably someone like Bill Gates got all his money. Probably gave a few dollars to a devotee. So we should especially advertise this. The ultimate end of the Vedic knowledge is realization of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Vedaischa Savarham Eva Vedya. There is a guarantee of monies being returned if given in charity, regardless of the proportion. Still, a moment passed in the association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting of the transcendental messages of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life. For returning home back to Godhead. Madana gata punarjanmana vidyate. In other words, a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. A devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. Ayur harati vaipunsam ujyanastam shriyanyaso. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadayate, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Sarasatam Deve, Kauravani Pacharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sitarna. Here it mentions that the most auspicious occupation for the living entity is to be engaged in Krishna's devotional service, especially by hearing and chanting about Krishna's glories in the association of devotees. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has said, Aham sarvasya pravo matat sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha, that Krishna is the source of everything. From him, the entire material and spiritual universes, they come. The wise who know this perfectly engage in Krishna's devotional service, and by such devotional service they develop bhava, or transcendental love for Krishna. So this transcendental love for Krishna is the actual activity of the soul. But now that the soul has somehow or another become misidentified with his temporary material body and mind, he's now simply desiring either for the furtherance of his material life or the ending of his material life. But somehow or another, he's become absorbed in this material life. But such activities actually have nothing to do with the soul. That the occupation of the soul, as Krishna says, is to be absorbed in loving Krishna. The soul actually has no other activity in his normal position other than to simply to love Krishna. So that love of Krishna is available through hearing about the topics of Krishna. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami is recommended. Tanama Rupa Charitadi Sikirtananu Smritio Kramena Rasanamana Siniyoja Tishtan rajetan ragi jananugami kalanaya itipadesha saram. That the essence of all the advice that Rupa Goswami has given in all the different literatures is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely hearing and chanting about the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, and this way gradually engage the tongue and the mind. So the tongue is explained here to engage that, because the tongue usually is absorbed in some kind of sense gratification. The material world exists because of our determination to somehow or another think ourselves to be the Lord of material nature, and the principal agent becoming the Lord of material nature is the tongue. That through the tongue we can devour other living entities. In this way we consume them, take their energy, and utilize it so that we can build on that and devour even more living entities in the future. Jiva jivasya jivanam, that one living entity is food for another living entity in the material world. So the material world exists, one living entity is trying to devour another living entity. There is one movie called Utesha. You saw that? ITV put it out. It shows one living entity devouring another living entity in this part of Africa. That the snakes are devouring the frogs, the lions are devouring, you know, the antelope and the deer. Everyone's devouring each other. So, in the human form of life, it may be a little bit more subtle. Sometimes it's not so subtle. But one living entity is trying to devour another living entity. By hook or crook, suck their energy from them, and therefore think oneself to become more and more powerful. But ultimately, at the end of life, everyone meets with death, and therefore, even the most powerful person becomes not so powerful at the time of death. And then, according to their activities, their next life, they're given another body, which may be more powerful if they perform pious activities, or less powerful if they perform sinful activities. So the very attempt to become independently powerful in the material world generally means that the living entity becomes less powerful. Although his attempt is to become powerful, ultimately it leads to his defeat. It's called pravarga. In the sense it is the labials, pa, beginning with pa, pa, and then pa, and then pa, and then pa. So, pavarga. Pavarga means that one works very hard in the material world, and therefore there's foam in the mouth. It's pa, pala, fena. And then after working so hard, there's foam in the mouth, then there's bile. Ba. And then after fear, then there is exhaustion, and then finally there's death. So the material world exists like that. Everyone's working hard to get ahead in material life. Working hard, foam at the mouth, exhaustion, finally dying. And then next life being born again, and getting a pep talk from the parents, from the school, this time will be better, go, do it. Working hard, foam at the mouth, getting exhausted, again dying. So in every species of life, not only the human form of life, everyone is going through the same thing. Being born, getting the pep talk from the father and mother, you know, go catch that, you know, antelope, you can do it, you know. Show them that you're one of the family. Working hard, catching the antelope, you know, foam at the mouth and then dying again. Fear. The material world especially exists in fear. Everyone's anxiety about what's going to happen. And why should people not be in anxiety about what's going to happen? Because everyone's going to die. So that's enough to be in anxiety about. And no one knows exactly when they're going to die. It is not that, you know, we have an appointment for death at such and such date, and we decide not to keep it. No one knows exactly when the appointment is. Just like that story, that one man went to the city, and in the city, he was a servant of one wealthy man who went to buy something in the city, probably to Liège or someplace. He went to Liège to buy something, and there he saw death smiling at him. So he thought, my God, death is here, he's waiting for me. So he immediately fled back to Radovich and said, no. Death is waiting for me in Liège. So his master said, don't worry about it. Here's some money, do the shopping in Brussels. So his master was a little curious. He went to Liège. There he saw death smiling. And he said, why are you bothering my servant? He said, I wasn't bothering him. I was just surprised to see him here. I had an appointment with him in Brussels. So the material world exists principally out of fear. Only if one can come to the transcendental platform is it possible to end the fear. Nasti buddhiya yuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavanaha, nacha bhavyantak shantir, ashantasya kutak sukham. For one who's not in transcendental or Krishna consciousness, he can have neither a controlled mind nor a steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? So as Maharaj Kukshetra has prayed, Krishna Twadiya Parapankaja Panjarandam Twadai Atyaiva Me Vishutu Manasaraja Hamsa Prana Asi. That let the swan of my mind seek entrance at the 70 lotus feet. Because now that I'm in a healthy condition, I can fix my mind upon you very easily. But if I have to wait till the time of my death, Kandana, Kanta, the Varoda, Virojo, Smaranam Kutaste, that if I have to wait my natural death, then my throat may become choked up, and I may not be able to chant your names, and therefore I may not be able to remember you, and therefore I don't know what my destination will be. So the devotee, he knows that his real solution to all his problems is to come to the transcendental platform of consciousness. Just like we're on this platform of consciousness, so there's also a transcendental platform of consciousness. And on that transcendental platform of consciousness, then one can realize one Krishna, and one can realize oneself. Actually, reality exists on that transcendental platform. But here we're absorbed in this temporary world, thinking that this is reality. Of course, not that the material world is not real, but it's a world where things are going on because of the unreal desires of living entities. Although the energy is real, but the forms of the material nature takes are temporary, and therefore they're considered to be unreal, because they're just products of unreal desires of living entities. The living entity's real desire is to love Krishna, but now he's trying to love in the material world, and because it's temporary and full of ignorance and full of pain, full of everything but love, therefore the living entity's loving nature is being misdirected, misapplied, and therefore it's called Shrava Evahi Kevala. A useless waste of time. So therefore the devotee knows that unless he comes to the transcendental platform, then his mind can't be controlled, and his intelligence can't be steady. The mind not being controlled means that we have to suffer. Hankering, lamentation, greed. It is not that these things are nice. In the modern world, people think that if I'm lusty, that's a sign of that's very auspicious. They take that as love. If they're greedy, they think they're making progress. They actually have some life to them. So this lust, anger, greed, which Krishna says are the three gates to hell, are not very auspicious, because they actually are the distress of the living entity. When the living entity is free from these three gates to hell, Krishna says, Aitari Mukta Kundeya, Tamo Dwara Srivir Nara, Achara Yatmana Shreya, Satoyati Parangatim. Then he performs acts which are conducive to his self-realization. So these three principal agents of the material world misdirect the living entity into activities which are not auspicious for him or for anyone else. They redirect him from his loving relation to Krishna to try to love something which is not at all lovable in the material world. Only due to love, only due to illusion, do people think that things are actually not lovable, are very lovable. Just like we can see in modern society, people have become more absorbed in their dogs. Everywhere you walk now, people have dogs. And they think it's love. They think the dog loves them. Therefore they kiss the dog. The dog comes up, you know, after licking its behind, and it comes up and licks the person right on the lips, and they think, oh, Fido loves me. They think they have some loving relationship with the dog. But as I mentioned before, in India, the dogs also lick everything, especially dead bodies they lick, because they're trying to see whether it's alive or not. And as soon as they detect that the body is not moving, they immediately bite off its nose and eat it. Therefore, they may be mistaken Fido's love for something which is actually not love. If you don't move quick enough, Fido might bite your nose off. So this love has been misdirected. So how to reestablish our loving relationship to Krishna? And Bhagavad Gita says, Matschita Mach Kata Prana Bodhiyantash Parashparam Katayantas from Matschita Mach Kata Prana Bodhiyantas Parashparam Katayantas from Nityam Tu Shanti Chara Manti Cha. So in the association of devotees who have realization about Krishna, then hearing about their glories, especially not just hearing about Krishna, but also hearing the mood of devotion, that when we catch up that mood of devotion, then that mood of devotion is infectious, and if that mood of devotion enters into our heart, that service attitude, that desire to please Krishna, then if we also engage in Krishna's service in that mood, then Krishna reveals himself to us. And as Krishna reveals himself to us, then the topics of Krishna become more and more relishable. Tesham, Sadatam, Yuktanam, Vajantam, Pritipurvakam. Constant engagement in Krishna's service with the right service attitude. Then Dadami Buddhi Yogantam. Then Krishna gives us spiritual intelligence by which we are able to understand that making plans for being comfortable in the material world is futile, and that making plans to revive our spiritual consciousness will actually solve our problems. Therefore, Krishna has come in the form of the Vedas, and he's especially come in the form of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, because these transcendental sound vibrations, when they're heard in the right spirit, and what is that right spirit? The right spirit is not erudite scholarship that someone knows, you know, how to divide up the Sundays and give some interpretation on all the different words. The right spirit is the spirit of service. Unless one has the spirit of service means to do what Krishna wants to please him. Unless one has that spirit, even hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita will have no real meaning. If one hears the Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam in the spirit of enjoyment, then the actual import of these transcendental messages will be hidden. The import of the hearing these literatures is that if we hear in the spirit of service, then our natural love for Krishna will awaken. Our natural service attitude towards Krishna will awaken, And it's that natural service attitude which brings us to the transcendental level of consciousness again. Then Krishna takes away this artificial consciousness that we're surrounded by due to long association with the modes of material nature since time immemorial. Srila Prabhupada once wrote to me, he said that if you light a match in a dark room, then the darkness can't put the match out. Therefore, it's recommended to hear in the right attitude. So Prabhupada, he stressed not so much just constantly reading his books, he stressed more developing a service attitude towards Krishna, towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially in spreading Krishna consciousness and preaching. Of course, preaching, is, as I mentioned before, is not limited. It's not only by book distribution that we're preaching. But the whole movement is meant for preaching. Everything we're doing is meant for preaching. That preaching is that I'm Krishna's servant, and that whatever I'm doing is meant to please Krishna. So if we have that attitude in whatever we're doing, and if it's an activity which is actually meant to glorify Krishna, then that's also preaching. But the essence of that whole philosophy, which is examined in many different ways, from many different viewpoints, is found in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita, which tell us the examples of great devotees and their service attitude and the service that they rendered, so that by Mahajana Yena Katasa Panda, we can follow in their footsteps and also develop that same service attitude. And by such a service attitude, then we can wake up again, and when we're awakened, then there's no more birth and death. Actually, the soul doesn't die. The soul is eternal. But right now we're dead, practically speaking. It's not that we're going to die. We're already dead. There's no question of dying when you're dead. We're unconscious. We have no idea who we are, practically speaking. A little idea as devotees. We know that we're Krishna's servants. But just imagine the people in the material world in general, especially in Kali Yuga, they have no idea what they are. All they do is they know beep beep, time to eat, beep beep, time to eat. That's all they know. They're more or less on the animal level of consciousness, completely oblivious to the fact that they're eternal. Oblivious to the fact that they have an eternal relation with Krishna in one of the five rasas. They have no information, practically speaking, about Krishna or what is the purpose of life, other than beep beep, please eat. So this is quite an unfortunate position. And therefore Krishna has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga in order to give people the opportunity to find out some information about what is their identity, what is their purpose of life, and how to fulfill it. And therefore the whole Krishna consciousness movement, the whole movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is meant to awaken people to their eternal position. Just to wake up. And if the soul wakes up, then all his problems are solved. When he comes to the eternal platform, then all the problems of birth, death, old age, and disease are solved because he's no longer on that platform. And if he doesn't come to that platform, all he has is that problem. His whole life is simply filled with that problem. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha nudarshana. And the problem of how to fill the empty stomach so that one will not die. So one can go on with, have the power to go on with the struggle for existence, but ultimately it's pavarga. That there is struggle, there's hard work, there's foam at the mouth, there's exhaustion, then there's fear, and then there's death. Not a very, so Krishna consciousness is apavarga. That which nullifies this hard struggle for existence, and that's done simply by the process of devotional service, which can actually bring us, awaken us to our spiritual consciousness. So one has to understand that there's the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. That philosophy is meant to bring us to the mood of loving ecstasy, priti. If we're feeling morose, if there is, the Prabhupada said that's a lack of Krishna consciousness. If I'm anxiety, if I'm morose, then that's all simply the fact that I'm just not in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, it may be my mood, it may be my activity that I'm doing. So one has to change either or both of them. We have to do our activities more lovingly, and we have to do the correct activities. So especially those, whatever activity helps absorb our mind in that spirit of loving service to Krishna, that activity is very auspicious, especially if it's given systematically to help us, whatever our actual level of consciousness is, to raise it to a higher level of consciousness. So there's the science of devotional service explained in these books. How everyone, according to their present level of, or their present position, they can engage in service to Krishna, and they can understand how to love Krishna, as the great devotees in the past have done it. And by learning from these great personalities, by taking their association in the form of transcendental sound vibration, then our spirit of service to Krishna can awaken, and as that awakens, then we can wake up to our actual position in relation to Krishna. And as we do that, then Krishna reveals himself, and as Krishna and his associates reveal themselves, then we come to the spiritual platform. And then Prabhupada says, one becomes prasanatma, he becomes jala. Just like if one is imprisoned for many years, then if suddenly they let him free, he's in a dark prison, it's very cold, there's no good food, and then suddenly they let him free, some Rolls Royce dries up, and, you know, welcome back. You know, then how happy he'll feel. So, for long we're in this material world struggling, sinking down into the modes of nature, into the lower species of life, rising up for a few minutes into the heavenly planets, and then dropping again into the ocean material existence. So how happy we'll feel if Garuda comes with Narayana on his back and lifts us up from the ocean material existence and takes us back to the spiritual world, where Mother Yashoda saved us some nice Mahaprasad from Krishna's lotus lips. And our only activity is to go out, play with the cowherd boys and girls during the day. That's all we have to do. That we can be eternally 10 years old and simply play the whole day. So that's possible, and that's explained here. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes. Well, spirit of enjoyment is that one may hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or chant Hare Krishna, perform devotional service as karma mishra bhakti. That is, that by such knowledge I can improve my material position. Or, in the spirit of Gyanamishra Bhakti, by such knowledge I can merge in Brahman or become important in the spiritual sense of the term. So sometimes the karmis and the jnanis, just like the karmis, they hear the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and they think it's very auspicious, this will, you know, increase my wealth, my progeny. They think that this will make my material life more auspicious. So they hear the Bhagavad Sapta and pay some money because they think this will be very beneficial for the material life. And sometimes the jnanis, they take to the Bhagavatam and they think by such hearing of Krishna consciousness, then the doorway to liberation will open to me and I can merge in Brahman. I can become free from material existence. So sometimes it's found that people take to Krishna consciousness, including reading this literature, for something other than pure devotional service. Matter of fact, most people do that. But the spirit of submission is that one has to keep in mind that the fact that I'm actually a spiritual soul, that's jnani, just like Krishna says, chatura vidha bhajante mam. Jnana arjuna artha jignasi artha ti jnani chavara tarashiva. So there are four kinds of people who, pious people who take to devotional service. The arthas, the artartis, the jnanis, and the What's that?
Vijnasa.
So those who are Gyanis, who know that we're not this body, and that there's nothing actually to aspire to in the material world, who know that Krishna is God, they're in the best position. So we have to become convinced that Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that I'm His eternal servant, and that my real duty is to serve Krishna, to please Him. That's really my interest. So that's called Ishvara Tadadineshu Balisheshu Dvitsatsutra Prema Maitri Kripopeka Yet Kuroti Samadhimaha. So the Madhima Adhikari, he's actually performing devotional service, which is unmixed, because he's trying to love Krishna, he's making friends with the devotees, he's trying to elevate the innocent, and he avoids the atheists. So that's the beginning of real devotional consciousness, the Madhima Adhikara. Yes.
I was going to say that because Prabhupada's books have the power to capture souls, that these books actually reveal this devotional.
Yeah, of course. They're written in the mood of service. Just like all the devotees, the whole Bhagavatam is written in the mood of service. And Prabhupada is repeating what the other acharyas have said. He's not really adding something or subtracting. He's simply trying to convey that same mood of service. Therefore, if someone reads it in the right attitude, then they'll understand that Krishna is God and that they're His servant. And they'll be able to capture that mood of service. No, one can find it. One can read the book and get any attitude he wants. Matter of fact, you see, most people read these books and they simply get the attitude of arguing, defeating someone else. That I have the truth and you're a fool. So one can get any attitude. But if one reads, therefore Prabhupada not only wrote these books, but he also tried to create a movement where the devotees within the movement actually develop this attitude. They display it, so then people can recognize what it's all about. Otherwise, Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago. It was spoken in the attitude of devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam has been around for many years. But Prabhupada simply, for instance, Bhagavad Gita, he simply, the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, Baladeva Vidyabhushana, he simply repeated what they said about the world Krishna service. He didn't try to speculate. And then he created a society where people were supposed to put into practice what it says, namely to become Krishna's servant and to spread Krishna's glories, to tell other people that they're also Krishna's servants. As a service to Krishna, to tell other people that they're Krishna's servants. You have to ask him, I don't know. He's the controller, and I can't speak for him. Well, devotional service is, it goes from some faith to association with devotees, to taking to the regular principles of devotional service, to becoming free from all anarthas, becoming steady, developing a taste, becoming attached. So it's not like, you know, either I'm a nice person or I'm a demon, either I'm a devotee or a demon. Devotional service progresses through different stages. So as we become more absorbed, steadily engaged in Krishna service, and as our attitude of spirit of love increases, intensifies, then naturally our material life decreases in proportion. So at the time of death, if we're actually, Krishna says, Vihaya kami yat sarvam, pumam charita nishpriha, Niramam Nirahankara Sikshanti Madhigachati. The one who is free from desires, who gives up all material desires, who is devoid of desires, the sense gratification, lives free from desires, who is devoid of false ego, and who doesn't consider himself a proprietor, that he becomes eligible to enter into the kingdom of God. Esha Brahmanistiki Partha Nayam Prapti Vimuyati Sidva Samantikalati Brahman Nirvana Rishiti. That is the way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a person is not bewildered, being so situated even at the hour of death, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So it's not a question of waiting for death and then suddenly, we leave our body and enter into the light and then the angels come and take us away. No, it's a question, even in this lifetime, if we can become free from our desires for sense gratification, give up our false ego, give up the false sense of proprietorship, then even in this lifetime, we can enter onto the spiritual platform. And as we enter into the spiritual platform, therefore we'll be constantly remembering Krishna and his associates, their name, form, quality, and pastimes. Even death comes, death won't be able to distract us from such remembrance. And then we naturally go and join Krishna sometime, someplace in some other universe to get further trained up in his transcendental service. So, dhira tatra namuyati. We have to become dhira so we're not disturbed. Someone sticks a pin into us and immediately we forget everything except for the pin. No, we have to become so undisturbed that whatever happens to us, that we're fixed in Krishna consciousness, including dying. Yes.
And you said that the more that you miss your listen, it makes what we hear. How can we improve listening?
Well, there may be many ways of improving listening. If we hear something and practice what we've heard. Just like, for instance, Prabhupada used to say that don't eat too much at night. So if we don't eat too much at night, then the next morning we won't be tired. We'll be able to stay awake when we hear. It'll be easier to listen. So some practical things like that. If we can, as Prabhupada says, that no one can hear with rapt attention unless the mind is controlled. And no one's mind can be controlled unless the senses are controlled. And no one's senses can be controlled unless he's purified in his habits, eating, sleeping, etc. So we have to purify our habits in such a way as that we can remain fixed and we can hear. The senses are controlled and the mind can be controlled, the mind's controlled, and we can hear with rapt attention.
Are they?
I don't know. Which Mayavadis do you know?
Well, I don't know.
Sometimes they are.
Yeah, but let's say
I mean, most people are Mayavadis.
He's the perfect Mayavadi. But he's also hearing, he's also chanting, he's also reading, but he has the wrong attitude. So how is he going to change if the reading and chanting and serving is not going to help him change his attitude?
Maya will help him. Maya will come and, he'll come back as a tree. Many impersonalists, they came back as trees. So when you come back as a tree, it gives you something to think about for 10,000 years. Maybe you did something wrong. So the material nature will help them. But we don't find so many strict Mayavadis nowadays. You don't find very rare you find a Mayavadi so strict. Sankaracharya, after Sankaracharya was an incarnation of Lord Shiva, then the Mayavadis, it all went down. Sometimes you find some strict Mayavadis, but it's not so common. But how will they be helped? The material nature will. They're not going back to Godhead. They're coming back somewhere in the material world. Therefore, the material nature will teach them.
I look more at the personal level, that there's so many wrong tendencies in why you do service. But if it doesn't go away by doing service, then how does it go away?
By hearing. Good association. What's that?
The wrong attitude.
Yeah, well, we have to have good association. If it doesn't go away, then we suffer. And if we suffer enough, then one day, you know, after some lifetimes, we may think, hey, why am I suffering? That may come to our mind. Maybe there's a better way of doing it. So Krishna doesn't interfere with our minute independence, but he will try and arrange in such ways that the right questions may arise within our mind. But he's patient. It takes some practice, just like we've been long practice to cultivate material conceptions, so it may take some time in order to accept spiritual conceptions also. So we have to develop a little patience. But if we keep on hearing with patience, then gradually we'll understand that I should become enthusiastic for devotional service. That my only real, if I want to make progress, it's not a question of simply understanding things intellectually, it's just accepting that I have to be enthusiastic what I'm doing to please Krishna. And then if we try to be a little enthusiastic, then we'll see that we actually feel a lot better. Otherwise, we can, you know, keep on thinking, well, I'm not going to be enthusiastic. Mind says, don't be enthusiastic. Don't do it. Don't surrender. So we may accept that, but for how long we can do it? Then ultimately the choice comes, all right, you want to become enthusiastic and make some progress, or you want to go down to the lower modes of nature. So gradually we can't keep on treading water forever. Eventually we have to make the decision. Either get on the boat, get out of the water, or sink. And most, after treading water for a long time, most intelligent people will get on the boat. But if we sink down, then again we take birth again and again, you know, treading water, and we'll think, wow, I've been doing this for a long time. It's time to do something else for a while. Try out something else. Yeah. Well, transcendental enjoyment is a little bit different from suffering. We don't, I mean, we're not really trying to cultivate suffering. But we don't mind it. In the sense, just like it says here, birth, old age, disease, and death are impetuses for the soul to make further progress. So in that sense, it's true. When you look in the mirror and you start seeing, you know, your hair is getting gray, you don't look, you know, your energy is going away, and you think, well, maybe I'm not going to be here forever. There's some possibility. Maybe I better start doing something in devotional service, preparing for my next, you know, incarnation. So it's certainly a impetus, but there also has to be some transcendental pleasure there, some higher taste, or else we'll simply be morose, just like people, you know. So therefore both of them are good. The higher taste, and also the impetus of the material nature. Even I see my parents, you know, they're in their 80s now. So they're actually becoming detached. Because that's what all that, what, when you see your bodies disappearing, what is there to be attached to? So old age is certainly an impetus for detachment. And if we become detached from material nature, then naturally we'll have more time for Krishna consciousness. Passion to devotees? I mean attachment and aversion to the devotees. Attachment and aversion. Not only attachment, but also aversion. You don't like devotees sometimes. How to deal with that? Well, we have to tolerate. In other words, we have to see that's a very advanced level of consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, jnana vijnana triptatma kutasta vijitendriya yukti yukti yo yi samalastra sakanchanaha. That a person is satisfied by both knowledge, theoretical and advanced, and applied knowledge, practical knowledge. He sees everything equal. A pebble, stone, and gold is the same. He said, triptatma, he's satisfied. But a person is said to be even further advanced when he regards everyone, honest, well-wishers, friends and enemies, the sinful, the pious, those who are indifferent and partial, he regards all of them with an equal mind. So that's quite advanced. So that advancement is possible by identifying yourself as Krishna's servant. So we identify ourselves as Krishna's servants, give up our other material objectives, except for trying to love Krishna, then naturally we'll try to cooperate with those who are doing the same thing. And if others are not doing the same thing, they try and take away what I have, I won't be disturbed, because I realize the only thing I really have is love for Krishna. The only thing I can gain is love for Krishna, and the only thing I can lose is forgetting about Krishna. So the more we come to that platform, the more we won't be disturbed by others who are either trying to give us something, who we call our friends, or trying to take something away from us, which we call our enemies. So only on that platform, when I identify myself as Krishna's servant, and I try to get love for Krishna, prema, then I can see things properly. Otherwise, in this material world, everyone who gives me something becomes my friend, and everyone who takes something away from me may be my enemy. But actually the person who gives me something, he may be actually my enemy. And the person who's trying to take something away from me, he actually may be my real friend. But because I'm bewildered by the wrong objectives, therefore I don't see things properly. So, I think we'll stop there with this being late. Thank you. Kratra Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Or Kamanande. Mm-hmm.